ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्री सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सुदीयं साद्वैतं गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तु अंगी राधे वृंद ऋषभानु सुते देवी प्रणम प्रिय Canto 10, chapter number 28. Krishna rescues Nanda Maharaj from the abode of Varuna. That is the chapter. Sri Badarayani Ruvacha Ekadashasyam Nirahara Ekadashyam Nirahara समभ्यर्च्य जनार्दनम् स्नातुं नन्दस्तु कालिन्द्याम् द्वादश्यां जलमाविशत्।
श्री बादरायण सेड, हैविंग वर्शिप्ड लॉर्ड जनार्दन एंड फास्टेड ऑन द एकादशी डे, नंद महाराज एंटर द वाटर ऑफ द कालिंदी एंड द देवदासी and the Dwadashi to take his bath.
So Sukadeva Goswami is narrating one incident here. This Ekadashi, Giriraj at the ridge of Govardhan mountain, Krishna met Nanda Maharaj. Krishna met Indra and Surabhi, right? That we discussed yesterday. That happened on Ekadashi. Okay. The next day is Dwadashi. So on Dwadashi, you have to break your fast during the parent time. Okay. So, Nanda Maharaj, he fasted on the Ekadashi day. He worshipped Lord Janardhan and he entered water in Yamuna river on the Dwadashi day. So this Ekadashi was very short Ekadashi, maybe 12 hours, whatever, very short Ekadashi. So that parent time, whatever, the time during which you have to, you know, break that Dwadashi thing, so that happened before the sunrise only. So having that calculations in mind, Nanda Maharaj entered the water to take bath in Yamuna. But that time is otherwise inauspicious time. So technically speaking, that time in general is an inauspicious time. Okay, you can't enter Yamuna and take bath at that time in general. But in this specific context, okay, because the Ekadashi was very short and the Dwadashi things moments are entering, so technically it is correct, okay, to enter. But these technical details were not known to one servant of Varuna, who was criticized as foolish and demoniac in this chapter. So he kidnaps Nanda Maharaj. Kidnaps, ne? Arrests Nanda Maharaj and takes him to Varunadeva. So those events are described in this chapter. Tam grihitva na yad bhrityo varunasya asuron tikam. Avagnasyasurim velam pravishtam udakam nishi.
Because Nanda Maharaj entered the water in the dark of night, disregarding that the time was inauspicious, a demoniac servant of Varuna seized him and brought him to his master.
Tam grihitva, seizing Nanda Maharaj, anayat bhrityaha varunasya asuraha. So Varuna's associates are not asuras, but he is having some asuric mentality. Why is that described as asuric mentality? Because he is kidnapping the father of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond all this kind of mundane rules and regulations, timings of constellations. So all this should not have influence on Nanda Maharaj. So all this he doesn't know. Avagnaya Surim, Avagna. Hare Krishna, where is that micro? Is hanging itna bada speaker. You can't connect this. This doesn't work. Okay. So yeah. So Varuna saw Nanda Maharaj. Okay. When this servant of Varuna brought Nanda Maharaj in front of Varundev, Varundev had some kingdom within the waters, okay, in a small hole, okay, inside Yamuna river, okay. That hole is big, not just like the hole where rat can fit, but Varuna's kingdom can fit there. Right, so he went there. So when Varunadev saw Nanda Maharaj, he saw Tulsi with Nanda Maharaj. He saw lotus garland in the hands of Nanda Maharaj. He understood that Nanda Maharaj is meditating on Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayana. So Nanda Maharaj, being a devotee of Narayana, so when he entered water, he started meditating on Narayana. So this, interestingly, this whole pastime, this kidnapping, everything happened without the knowledge of Nanda Maharaj only. He was absorbed in his meditation on Narayana, and this fellow came and then kidnapped him and took him to Varuna. He didn't come out of trance. Then the whole entire Gokul is crying, and then where did Nanda Maharaj go? Yashodamai was fainting. When Krishna just pacified them and entered the river, then in front of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj just comes back to his external consciousness. So all this time, Nanda Maharaj was in meditation of Narayana. So then seeing Nanda Maharaj in this condition, understanding that he is the father of Krishna, Varundev got extremely frightened. Right? He put Nanda Maharaj on a very excellent bed made with celestial cloth and then gave him a seat. Okay, you sit here, you start, you meditate, you continue your meditation. I am fearful now, I am in anxiety. So he went on the doorstep, on the entrance of his abode, okay, and he was waiting. When will Krishna come? Krishna might come at any time. Okay, with fear he was anticipating Krishna's arrival. Right, so that he was standing right outside, not even, he didn't even employ some Dwarpal, Krishna Araika Deku. He didn't say like that. He personally went, stood there, was anticipating Krishna's arrival so that he can catch his sight when he is quite far only. Like that. So Nanda Maharaj was intent on breaking his fast during the Dwadashi day, of which there remained only a few minutes. Okay. So parent time sometimes comes, you know, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. where you have to break fast, and then morning Dwadashi day morning also you have to take the Ekadashi Prasad. Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it is so close, so short that you have to take in Brahma Muhurta only. So Krishna does a similar pastime while retrieving Sandipan Muni's son. Then also when he retrieves Devaki's sons, six sons. Okay. In one case he goes to Yamaraja's abode. In one case he goes to Balimara's abode. Right there also he was offered prayers. And some Brahmana's sons were being kidnapped, okay, by Mahavishnu. Then Arjuna takes a vow. So there also Krishna goes to Mahavishnu's abode. So in 10th canto, you will find some of these pastimes where Krishna is doing superhuman activities, going to some other planet where ordinary mortals do not have access to, however advanced he may be in yogic power and all. So he goes there and then retrieves some people. Okay. Here he is retrieving his own father. In other cases, he retrieves someone else's sons, but here he is retrieving his own father. So Varuna understood that Krishna would not tolerate this offense of kidnapping his father. So Varuna waited at the entrance of his abode. Okay. 33rd verse. Then Chukrushustam Upasyanta Krishna Rameti Gopakaha Bhagavamstadupashritya Pitaram Varunart Varuna Hritam Tadantikam Gato Rajan Svanam Abhayado Vibhuhu. So everyone realized that Nanda Maharaj is missing. Okay, so they were in panic. So everyone is searching here and there. Everyone is disturbed. They were calling out the names of Krishna and Balaram. So then Krishna also became little anxious for his father, and he told Balaramji, "Brother, keep mother free from lamentation."
So now Yashoda Mai will also get disturbed. So you keep her free from lamentation. Protect everyone else. Right? As long as they don't get our father back, Nanda Maharaj back, you should protect everyone. You should pacify everyone. It may take longer time for me to get back Nanda Maharaj. Okay? Meanwhile, all these Vrajavasis will get greatly disturbed. So you should protect them. So he entrusted the Vrindavan community to Balramji, and then he went to protect Nanda Maharaj, right? So the moment Yashoda and others arrived and saw Balramji alone, so Krishna just entered waters, okay? Then, so Krishna actually gathered his lower cloth and then tightened it, and then he disappeared into the hole of Yamuna. He just jumped into Yamuna and he disappeared inside, okay? So the moment Yashoda and others arrived and then saw Balramji alone without Krishna, they looked for Krishna. Where is Krishna? Balramji, where has your younger brother gone? Then seeing Yashoda full of grief, Balramji spoke, "Mother, don't be aggrieved. Okay, Krishna is safe. Krishna went to bring Nanda Maharaj back. Okay, he will make everyone happy in few moments only. Please wait." Then he told Rohini. Then Rohini, "Why are you beating me? Please trust me. Keep Yashoda alive, since she is barely alive." Right, Balramji told Rohini. So, this case was similar to Kalia incident. Okay, in Kalia incident also, Krishna jumped into Yamuna and entire Vrindavan community was in anxiety for Krishna's protection. So now this is double anxiety. Okay, they are unable to see Krishna in front also. At least in Kalia episode, Nanda Maharaj was on the shore and Krishna is in the coils of Kalia, visible to everyone. But here, Krishna jumped into the river, Nanda Maharaj also disappeared, and no one can see anything, what is happening. And outside, such tremendous feelings of separation and anxiety are overwhelming the Vrindavan vasis. Okay. So as in case of Kalia incident, the elders, considering that Balramji's words would cause her recovery, made her relax. And in Kalia episode also, Balramji was like the main person who is pacifying the entire Vrajavasi community. Right? He was giving them reassurance, he was solacing them, pacifying them. So same thing he did in this pastime also. So Balramji means supporting Krishna's pastimes, right? Sustaining devotees' feelings. So all these Vrajavasis were anxious and Balramji is solacing them. But people began to consider, is this a dream or are we awake? Have we fainted or are we insane? So they lost their intelligence completely. Their hearts were completely agitated. Right? Everyone said, "Oh, Yashoda, ha, Krishna, where are you?" So they were saying like that. And four ladies came and held up Yashoda Mai. She was about to faint only. Her heart began to burn. So they could understand she was alive, but because she still breathed. But everyone said, so like that. This is about the Vatsalya Gopis. Coming to the case of Madhurya Gopis, the younger Gopis, so they all gathered on the bank of Yamuna. They went into deep depression, and when Krishna left to Varuna's abode, okay, so all the Vrajavasis did not always see Krishna, but now they understand. Although they are not seeing Krishna now, it's not like not seeing Krishna in some other cases. They know we are not seeing Krishna, but Krishna is somewhere else safe. But here, what happened to Krishna? They were totally anxious. Okay, fearing that he had departed for the other world, the gopis lost all strength and collapsed on the ground. Right, especially Srimati Radharani. So she fell on the ground, and although withering away due to separation from Krishna, Radhika managed to sustain her life by the power of her Krishna prema. So the sustenance of their lives is Krishna prema, not the life airs in their bodies. So even though they fanned Radha with lotus and tala leaves and sprinkled her with sandal water, and like Radhika's high fever of separation could not subside, she was fainting. Somebody got some little cotton swab and then put on the nose of Srimati Radharani, and then understood she is still breathing, she is alive. They were little hopeful. So one smart gopi came and said, "Hey, Krishna is coming. Then Radharani immediately got up. Okay? Got up and then see where is Krishna. Then that was only to bring her to external consciousness. But actually Krishna was not coming. But everyone was like giving her hope that Krishna will come. In few moments Krishna will come. So this is the case of all the gopas and gopis and everyone. And what to speak of the emotions of the cows. So they were also very anxious for Krishna. All the elderly gopas, they were anxious for Krishna. All the motherly gopis, they were anxious. All the younger gopis, they were also anxious for Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj. Okay, it's one more addition here. So, praptam viksha hrishikesham lokapalaha saparyaya mahatya pujayitvaha tad-darshanamahotsavaha.
Seeing that the Lord Hrishikesh had arrived, the demigod Varuna worshipped him with elaborate offerings. Varuna was in a state of great jubilation upon seeing the Lord, and he spoke as follows.
So when Krishna entered this Varuna's abode within the waters of Yamuna, although Krishna's body was black, it appeared to be red with anger. Although his eyes destroyed all darkness, because of their intense gaze, they were difficult to behold. Looking at the glances of Krishna is such a pleasing, soothing experience in general. But in this case, it was even difficult to behold the glance of Krishna. His quality of softness became ferocious because of his anger. His voice was like the rumbling of thunder in a cloud at the time of final devastation. Okay, this astonished everyone in Varuna's abode. So going to Varuna's abode, similar to a hole, so Krishna said, "Where is that Varuna?" So he was like angry, right? "Where is that Varuna?" When Krishna had increased his powers with a desire to attack him, Varuna came, right? He came from a distance only. He started offering dandavas. He fell on the ground flat, offering obeisances and begging forgiveness. Okay, then Krishna understood. Varuna's pride got crushed. So in the beginning only, his exhibition of anger was for few moments only. After all, Varuna is a devotee, a responsible demigod, and he did not intentionally do this mistake. Krishna is aware, but in the pastime, he kind of became very angry. So seeing Varuna's pride crushed, his followers also offered obeisances. Right? Entire Varuna's abode offered prostrated dandavas in front of Krishna. This 7 year old, I think he is around 7 years, seven years only, correct. Just after Govardhan episode. Like that. So he asked, lotus-eyed Krishna then desired to show mercy to Varuna and inquired from him, "Where is my worshipable father, the performer of highest dharma? You people considered him doing some adharma, doing something at an inauspicious time, but he is the highest follower of dharma. How could you kidnap him? Where is he?" he asked. So Varuna slowly regained his composure. Okay, he came out of his frightening situation, and then he spoke sweetly. "Oh, highest Lord, a person who resides where you stay and resides nowhere else attains the highest powers and becomes the foremost. I am one of your many servants. How can I follow your order?" So having given up his anger, Krishna spoke with a peaceful heart. He was saying, "Punishing these insignificant fellows will simply destroy the power of the punisher. Okay, I will not punish Varun Dev and his associates. Okay, you just show my father. Bas, that's what I came here for. Okay, no more speaking and not many things. Just show my father." Then Varun Dev said, "Yes, I will show your father. Okay, whatever you say, I will do." So Varun Dev saying from Bhagavatam, Sri Varuna Uvacha, Adyame Nirbhuto Deho, Jaivartho Dhigata Prabho, Tvatpada Bhajo Bhagavan, Avapuh Param Adhvanaha.
Shri Varuna said, "Now my body has fulfilled its function. Indeed, now the goal of my life is achieved, O Lord. Those who accept your lotus feet, O personality of Godhead, can transcend the path of material existence.
So Varundev circumambulated Krishna and spoke these words. Adyame nibhruto deho. So he was saying, my accepting this body has become successful now because I have seen your transcendental body. I never thought that I will get your darshan. So now I got your personal darshan. You came to my abode and gave me darshan. Okay, what else could be more fortunate than this event? Right? So the goal of my life is achieved. Those who accept your lotus feet, tvat pada bhajo bhagavan avapuh param adhunaha. So whoever has accepted your lotus feet can transcend the path of this material existence. Param, they can attain the state of transcendence. Namastubhyam bhagavate brahmane paramatmane nayatra shruyate maya lokasrishti vikalpana.
My obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Soul, within whom there is no trace of the illusory energy which orchestrates the creation of this world.
So he is offering obeisances. Namastubhyam Bhagavate, O Bhagavan, I offer my obeisances unto you. Brahmane, you are the Absolute Truth. Paramatmane, you are the Supreme Soul. You are Brahman, you are Paramatma. Okay, na yatra shruyate maya loka srishti vikalpana. This is something similar to what Indra said yesterday. Okay, na yatra shruyate maya. So you, in whom there is no trace of maya, illusory energy. Loka srishti vikalpana. This illusory energy can orchestrate the creation of this world, right? Loka srishti vikalpana. It can arrange for the srishti, okay, your illusory energy. But that cannot influence you, my dear Krishna. Yesterday, our Indra said, what is that verse? Vishuddha sattvam tavadhama shantam tapomayam dhvasta rajastamaskam. Yeah, then? Maya mayo yam gunasampravaho na vidyate grahananubandha. Okay. Nice. Actually, in Sanskrit verse, a Sanskrit verse can be explained in... there are five steps of explaining a Sanskrit verse. Right? We can say one more. We can add one more. Because now that is explained in English here. So now this is called transliteration, uchharana. Okay? So the Sanskrit which is written in whatever Indian language, native Indian language, Devanagari or whatever. So with all that pronunciation guidelines, it is represented in English here. Okay? So that's a very great contribution. Now the whole world can pronounce it properly. Okay? By seeing these guidelines. Okay? Without this, uchharana, this diacritic marks, we cannot do it. So Prabhupada's great contribution. Then, padachheda or sandhi vichheda. So you need to break this complex Sanskrit verse into small, small elements. Right? Small, small words, individual words. So sandhis have to be, cut. Okay? Vichheda. Then we have padarthokti. After breaking the bigger Sanskrit lines into smaller words, you have to give meanings to each word. That is called padarthokti. Then vakya yojana. Vakya yojana means you have to generate a prose sentence for the poetry. Okay? This is that translation. Okay? Prose sentence for poetry. Then next is called vigraha. Vigraha means there are some compound words. Okay? When you just translate them, like for example, synonyms are there. So now the Sanskrit word may be one word. But sometimes your English translation can be one phrase or one sentence. So the compound word has to be expanded for proper understanding of a new reader. So that is called vigraha. Then fifth element is called tarka. Tarka means presenting one's arguments and defeating someone else's arguments. Okay. So this vigraha and tarka are often seen in the purport, and Vigraha is little visible in the translation also. Okay, elaborating the compound words. So this is the proper format of translating Bhagavatam. Yesterday that verse we discussed, we can appreciate it well with all this in mind. All these techniques they employed very nicely. Okay, without very nicely expanding everything, we cannot understand. Okay, tapomayam, full of austerities. That's what any Sanskrit scholar will understand. Right, but giving the right meaning, tapomayam means full of knowledge. Knowledge kidhar se aagaya, tapome. So tapo means tap. Then that is the quality of sun, heat, illuminating effect. Okay, how does he illuminate? Not with light, with knowledge. But if you have to take the meaning of light, it is he is self-illuminating. He is self-effulgent. So all these meanings are given. Why did I say this? Because we remembered that verse. So here, this illusory energy can orchestrate the material creation and can bind all the living entities under modes, but it cannot influence Krishna. Right? He is dhasta tamas rajaskam, he is vishuddha sattvam. Okay? So that is mentioned here. Then shruyate, this word shruyate, which comes in the third line, nayatra shruyate maya. So it is not even heard of that you are influenced by material illusory energy. So shruyate is significant. It indicates shruti. Shruti consists of authorized statements made by the Lord himself or the enlightened representatives. Thus, neither the Lord nor his devotees be influenced by illusory energy. Right? Any reference for this? The popular reference? Lord is not influenced by illusory energy, and devotees are also not influenced by illusory energy. I mentioned this several times in your classes. First canto. Right. Prakriti sthopi tad gunaihi. How does it begin? Etad ishanam ishasya prakriti sthopi tad gunaihi. Na yujyate sadatma stair. Tada yadha buddhis tadashraya. Okay. So although the Lord is in contact with matter, he is not influenced by matter, or he is not entangled in matter. Same is the case with devotees also. Okay. Ajanata mama kena mudhena karya vedhinam anitoyam tavapitam tadbhavan kshantum arhatim.
Your father, who is sitting here, was brought to me by a foolish, ignorant servant of mine who did not understand his proper duty. Therefore, please forgive us.
The word I am is this one here, this fellow, you know, this my assistant. So he is foolish. Okay, ajanata, he is very ignorant. Mamakena, mudhena, he is foolish. He is my servant. So why he is foolish? Akarya Vedina, he doesn't know what is his duty, proper duty. Right? And he brought your father here. Please, Kshantu Marhasi, I beg forgiveness for the mistake of my servant. Please forgive us. Like that. So, same thing Lord Vishnu also does in 3rd canto, 16th chapter. Okay? On behalf of 4 Kumaras, I beg forgiveness. I can lop off my arms also if its behavior is hostile to you. My dear Kumaras, please forgive. Like that. Yamaraj also says, correct. So Varuna has seated Nanda Maharaj on a jewel throne and had personally worshipped him out of respect. Next, 8th verse. Mamapyanugraham Krishna kartum arhasya seshadrik Govindaniyatam esha pitate pitruvatsalam.
O Krishna, O seer of everything, please give your mercy even to me. O Govind, you are most affectionate to your father. Please take him home.
So, in Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami quotes this 8th verse. Okay. Actually, when Krishna said, "Where is my father?" So this Varuna got frightened, and he was little. He regained his composure and took Lord to where Nanda Maharaj was. So when Nanda Maharaj came, he recognized his position and gave him a very special, excellent seat and allowed him to be there. Then when Krishna came, he arranged a very nice, fine cloth, right? As a, you know, we say red carpet, right? Red carpet, green carpet, you arrange for some dignitaries to walk on. So like that, Varuna also arranged a nice cloth from where Krishna came till where Nanda Maharaj was there. So he made Krishna walk on it. So Krishna's anger is subsiding slowly. So, "O Govinda, affectionate to your father," he said, "Govinda niyatam esha pitate pitru vatsala." Here Krishna is described as pitru vatsala. We have heard so many times like bhritya vatsala and bhakta vatsala, this kind of addresses. Diana vatsala. But here is pitru vatsala. You are very affectionate to your father. Okay. So Krishna freed Varuna from fear of being bound by exerting his own influence. So not seeing Krishna with his eyes, by sensing him by his fragrance, Nanda Maharaj regained his consciousness in this context. So far Nanda Maharaj was absorbed in meditating on Narayana. Now he regained his consciousness. How he regained his consciousness? When Krishna came closer to Nanda Maharaj, the fragrance of the lotus body of Krishna entered into the nostrils of Nanda Maharaj, and then he regained his consciousness. Oh, my child came. Only Krishna can distract him from his meditation on Narayana. Like that. So he regained his consciousness. He was astonished. Okay. So opening his eyes, he saw Krishna. Immediately his eyes were filled with tears. Immediately his affection, his devotional meditation on Narayana got diverted into affectionate glances on Krishna with tears. Right? "Oh father, I have come." Oh, Krishna went towards his father and then embraced him. So in this way he brought him to senses. So Krishna brought Nanda Maharaj to senses. So though they both were intensely emotional. So Nanda Maharaj was emotional, then Krishna was emotional. Nanda Maharaj was shedding tears. Krishna was extremely happy to see Nanda Maharaj again. But they did not exhibit those emotions completely, because they know all these Varuna and other of his followers, they cannot understand what's happening here. These intense Vatsalya emotions, right? So Nanda Maharaj's Vatsalya rasa, Krishna's Pitru Vatsalya. So both they cannot comprehend. So they control their emotions. At least Krishna made the scene much lighter so that these fellows can digest. So Krishna said, "Oh father, don't do anything else. So just the way I have come here, we will return to Vraja." Right? So just be ready to put your lotus feet in that direction which I am showing you. Okay, that's all you have to do. And Nanda Maharaj actually was looking around and then he was astonished. "Where are we? We are in the midst of water. Where are we?" He was like questioning. Then Krishna said, no, let's go. We'll discuss later. So when they were about to leave, Varuna came and spoke with piteous words. "Hare, you came and then you are taking your father. You are not paying much heed to me." Right? So Krishna, you are compassionate. Please, either punish me or show your mercy to me. Don't just neglect me like this, right? But do not allow me to stay with offense. I have committed an offense. You have not punished me. You have not shown your mercy and nullified the offense also. Okay, you are just coming and picking up your father and silently going away. So please show some mercy, right? Offense will not cease without showing mercy or without giving punishment. Okay. So while Krishna and Nanda Maharaj were leaving, on back to Gokul, then our Navarundev got all kinds of worship paraphernalia, best cloth, best ornaments and everything, and then he offered everything and worshipped Krishna. Then Krishna departed. Then our Varuna also is a little pacified, right? So now back to the scene on the bank of Yamuna. So during this time, the minds and hearts of all the Vrajavasis were filled with so much anxiety for Nanda Maharaj and Krishna, both Nanda Maharaj and Krishna. So they remained lifeless. okay, waiting for Nanda and Krishna to appear again, they had slight symptoms of life, slight symptoms. Okay, but when they saw both Nanda Maharaj and Krishna return back, they again fainted in bliss. Now out of ecstasy, out of you know, happiness, they fainted now. Earlier they were fainting out of separation. So only Balaramji approached both Nanda Maharaj and Krishna and then received them, okay, happily. He gave great happiness to you know, both of them. So Balaramji went and offered respects. Krishna came so quickly that no one could see. And he first brought his mother back to consciousness. Mother, I am here back. Okay, don't worry. So he reassured his mother and he relieved others also. So when Nanda had arrived, they all approached Krishna and Nanda, being aware of nothing else. So when Nanda Maharaj and Krishna were right in front of their eyes, they forgot everything else. Right? So many details are visible. For example, when Dronacharya asked Arjun, okay, what are you seeing? He said, I am seeing the eye of that bird only, nothing else. Bhimsen says, I saw everything. Bhimsen says, Arjun, Yudhishthira also says, I am seeing everything. But he said, only that. So like that, all the Vrajavasis, their only focus was Krishna and Nanda Maharaj, nothing else. Okay, after getting up, they didn't say, where is my child, you know, where is my calf, where is my house. They were not saying like that. So Balaramji made Nanda Maharaj sit on a nice white cloth, arranged sitting places for all others also. Then he asked, what happened? Okay, so just narrate us the scene. So then both of them narrated everything. So hearing the narration of these events, so he told this to cowherd people. Okay, he told it mildly in whatever way they can digest. He revealed the details to those people also. Then all of them invited Brahmanas. So this whole thing is happening on Dvadasi. They have to break their fast. Okay, which may this kind of obstruction came. Parent time is like, you know, going ahead. So they called Brahmanas and arranged for, you know, breaking fast of everyone on Dvadashi. Okay. So now they were returning back to their homes. So while walking on the path, Nanda Maharaj was walking between Krishna and Balaram. Nanda Maharaj looked very effulgent and gorgeous walking between Krishna and Balaram. So two personalities of Godhead are walking, and which may ek bhakt, he is going along with them. See what a scene. So he was looking so gorgeous. Okay. So that's how that kidnap thing ended. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Evam prasadita Krishna. Bhagavan Ishvareshwaraha. आदायगाद स्वपितरम् बंधुनाम चावरन मुदम्।
Shukadev Goswami said, thus satisfied by Lord Varuna, Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of Lords, took his father and returned home, where their relatives were overjoyed to see them.
Okay, this we discussed already. Nandastvatindriyam drishtva लोकपालमहोदयम् कृष्णे च सन्नतिं तेषां ज्ञातिभ्यो विस्मितो ब्रवीत्।
Nand Maharaj had been astonished to see for the first time the great opulence of Varuna, the ruler of the ocean planet, and also to see how Varuna and his servants had offered such humble respect to Krishna. Nanda described all this to his fellow cowherd men.
So, according to the other books, this event happened on some other day. Okay? On some other day, all the gopas, when Krishna was absent, all the gopas approached Nanda Maharaj and inquired him, what actually has happened on that day when Varuna kidnapped you? Just tell me the details. Tell us the details of the events happened there. Then Nanda Maharaj revealed all those to them. So Nanda Maharaj was astonished to see the opulence of all the this Varunadev's abode, right? So he described everything to them. So they were discussing in Krishna's absence, but Krishna knows what they were discussing, right? So Nanda profusely praised the great prosperity of Varuna. Okay, oh friends, hear the wonder. He then described with great reverence that the inhabitants displayed for Krishna. So now, as he was discussing, and he was discussing the opulence of Varuna, and finally he said, Dasach Varuna respected Krishna so much. Right? He worshipped Krishna. He offered so many gifts to Krishna. So again, this kind of reminded of Krishna's exalted position to all the Vrindavan Vasis. Right? So after Nanda's description, they were all astonished in their hearts. And they thought that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Even if it is true that He is Lord, because of His indestructible power of knowledge, He is the abode of great natural affection and giver of complete bliss. So they were, like occasionally they were recognizing Krishna's exalted position, but they are unable to come out of their feelings of friendship and affection towards Krishna. Right? Because of this, our minds are always eager to see His excellent qualities, which destroy all longing. Will He show us this excellence without restriction? So basically Krishna saw this, and in this context, Jiva Goswami quotes few verses from Bhagavatam only. In Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami quotes some verses from Bhagavatam. One is, Itinanda Dayo Gopa Krishna Rama Kathamuda Kurvanto Ramamanascha Navindam Bhavavedanam. So all these Vrajavasis, they were discussing about Krishna's wonderful activities, superhuman activities, but they are definitely reminded of Krishna's exalted position as a, you know, great demigod or supreme lord, but they are unable to come out of their affectionate feelings. Right? But they were being happy. Iti Nandadayo Gopa Krishna Rama Kathamuda. They are discussing their activities and then they were very happy. Okay? So Jiva Goswami also quotes some other verses. He says, Krishner Pitatma Suhrud Artha Kalatra Kamaha. This is from which episode? Kaliya episode. Right? Krishna Arpita Atma. They have surrendered their own selves to Krishna. Suhrud, their relatives. Artha, their wealth. Kalatra, their wives. Kamaha, all their desires, their pleasures. Everything is directed towards Krishna. That is the position of Vrajavasis. Krishna Kamala Patrakshe Sanyasta Akhila Radhasaha. The cowherds had dedicated everything to the lotus-eyed Krishna. Even Brahmaji acknowledges this. You are the embodiment of all benedictions. Where is that benediction which you cannot offer? Right? But what do you have remaining to bestow on the residents of Vrindavan? Although you are Varan Vibhotad Varadeshwarad Buddha, you are the Varadeshwara, you are the best of all benefactors. They are the best of all bestowers of benedictions. But I don't think you have anything left to give Vrajavasis. Right? You are bankrupt in front of Vrajavasis. So Brahmaji also acknowledges this. Right? Because the speciality of Vrajavasis is they have to be reminded that Krishna is God. Because they are constantly in the feelings of affection towards God. Right? They don't remember that he is God. Sometimes they will remember in quotes, okay, quote unquote, remember that he is God. He may be God. Okay, probably he is God. So they will think like that. But they are constantly in the feelings of affection. Okay, other purports are there which will elaborately discuss this concept. So Nanda, who was astonished on seeing the powers of Varuna, is a cause of sorrow for me. Krishna was thinking. Because if he is astonished by seeing certain opulences, I can never become absorbed in prema for him and others as much as they are absorbed in prema for me. Okay, him and others as much as they are absorbed in prema for me. So now Krishna is thinking they are feeling reverential towards Varun Dev's thing. Okay, their attention is getting diverted there momentarily. Ultimately, it is they are conscious of me only. Now they were thinking that I am God also sometimes. Right? But their feelings of affection are not getting reduced. Now, what I can understand is they are absorbed in prema towards me more than what I am absorbed in prema towards them. Their prema for me is more than my prema for them. Okay? So, Krishna was thinking like that. Thinking about this subject, I will now make them realize their own greatness through an experience of yoga maya filled with auspicious meditation. So, Krishna said, I will make them experience my abode. Okay, I will they are glorifying Varundeva's opulence so much, they don't know what is their opulence. Right? Their opulence is millions and millions and trillions of times more than Varundeva. Okay, now I will show them their eternal residence, which is Goloka Vrindavan. Okay, I will give them that vision so that they will realize their own sweetness, their own greatness. Okay, that's how Krishna showed. But other books say that they themselves had a desire to see Krishna's transcendental abode. That is mentioned in 11th verse.
Techa out sukya dhiyaha dhiyo rajan matva gopas tvamishwaram apinasvagatim sukshmam upadhasyat adhishwaraha.
Hearing about Krishna's pastime with Varuna, the cowherd men considered that Krishna must be the Supreme Lord, and their minds, O King, were filled with eagerness. They thought, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us His transcendental abode?
So not just cowherd men, gopas and gopis both are involved, according to other references. So Garga Samhita says that actually gopas and gopis went to Krishna and asked, Krishna, if you are God, if you are Supreme Personality of Godhead, then show us your abode, your Supreme abode. They said like that. According to Bhagavatam, they thought, will He show us our abode? Then, according to Gopal Champu, Krishna observed that they are feeling reverential towards Varuna. They are discussing about Varuna's opulences, right? They don't know their opulences. Let me show. Then Krishna orchestrated an event. On some other day, all of them, during Kartik month, on a full moon day, Kartik Purnami day, so they went to this place called Brahma Hrada. There only Akrura also got that vision. You know, that Akrura got a vision of the spiritual world within the waters. At the same place, all the Vrajavasis also got the vision. So Krishna orchestrated an event where all the Vrajavasis would come there and take bath there and then see the entire impersonal Brahman and all the spiritual personal planets which are floating in that Brahman, and the highest of the planets, which is Goloka, they could see. Right? So Krishna Himself orchestrated this event. Very nice.
Itisvanam sa Bhagavan Vignaya Khila Druksvayam Sankalpa Siddhaye Tesham Krupayaitat Achintayat.
Because He sees everything, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically understood what the cowherd men were conjecturing. Wanting to show His compassion to them by fulfilling their desires, the Lord thought as follows.
Lord thought, okay, to fulfill their desires.
Janovai loka etasmin avidya kama karma bhi uchavachasu gatishu navedasvam gatim brahman bharam.
Lord Krishna thought, certainly people in this world are wandering among higher and lower destinations, which they achieve through activities performed according to their desires and without full knowledge. Thus people do not know their real destination.
This verse is applying to Vrajavasis. Can you imagine? Krishna is saying, Janovai loka etasmin avidya kama karma bhihi. In this material world, people are filled with avidya, ignorance, and kama karma bhi, they have full of desires, and karma, they are full of activities. Right? Uccha vachashu, okay, uccha avacha means inferior and superior. Gatishu means destinations. Naveda, they don't recognize. They don't recognize which is higher destination, which is lower destination. They don't recognize. They are absorbed in their activities and other things. Right? So Brahman, they are wandering. So how does this apply to Vrajavasis? Jiva Goswami gives a brilliant commentary. Okay, very beautiful purport. You can memorize this full purport. Okay. So, one of the fundamental philosophical principles in Bhagavatam is that there are two types of illusion. One is Yogamaya, one is Mahamaya. Okay? So, these are two states. Spiritual state of existence, there is material state of existence. Okay? Yogamaya and Mahamaya, two things. So, in case of Vrajavasis, what is acting is Yogamaya, not Mahamaya. Okay, that much is clear, known to us. So their ecstatic love should transcend the boundaries of mere reverence. Okay, so there are few people who don't have any reverence to the God. They are atheists. There are few people who have reverence to the God. They are theists. Now beyond these two levels are Vrajavasis, who are not reverential to the God, and their lack of reverence may resemble this atheistic mentality. Considering the Supreme Lord is an ordinary person, okay, as a mere cowherd boy, as a person dependent on other person. So these are their prominent feelings, right? But that level is not below the reverential level, that is above the reverential level. Okay? That may seem ignorance on the part of Rajavasis, but that is not ignorance. Okay, that is purity. Purity of their affection. This purport very nicely explains. Okay, so that their ecstatic love can transcend the boundaries of mere reverence, they forget that Krishna is Supreme God of all universes. Atheists also forget that Lord is Supreme. Okay, He is the God of all universes. But they will also do that. But it is not because of avidya. Okay, the residents of Vrindavan are in fact ignoring the secondary majesty of Krishna and focusing intensely on His infinite beauty, which is the essence of all existence. Okay, so Krishna has two facets. One is His majesty, one is greatness, one is sweetness, you can say like that. So which is superior? Sweetness is superior, not the greatness. Okay, so Vrajavasis are on the sweeter side. They got attracted to the sweetness of Krishna, not the greatness of Krishna. If we imitate Vrajavasis and we say that I am also attracted to sweetness of Krishna, not greatness of Krishna, then we become Sahajiyas. Right? We don't become Vrajavasis by doing that. We need to understand what is our condition. Okay? Our condition is Sadhakas. Okay? If Sadhaka imitates a Ragatmika Bhakta, he doesn't become Vrajavasi, he becomes a Sahajiya. Okay? So now they are on the other side. They see the greater aspect of Krishna, which is greater than greatness, that is sweetness. Okay? Now actually, technically speaking, Krishna's aspect of being Supreme Controller or God, okay, or Isha, so that is a political analysis of His position. Okay? Such analysis of levels of power or hierarchies and all this are significant in a context where the living entity is not fully surrendered in love. For a person who is already surrendered, you need not remind him of hierarchy, position and all that. Right? If a person is surrendered in love, unconditionally he will love that person. Okay? Love the beloved. So he need not be reminded, "Arey, you have to love him and worship him because he is the boss of this company." "Arey, boss, yaar, theek hai, I will do it." That is it. If you already have that love, then you need not be reminded of the position of the person. Okay, so Vrajavasis forgetting the position of Krishna is perfectly bona fide and the greatest possible disposition that a soul can acquire. Right? So it is not their ignorance like a conditioned soul. Now they make a brilliant statement. Control becomes visible or continuously felt as control when there is resistance to the control. Right, you identify someone as a controller when you have resistance to that control. Okay, someone is, for example, you are writing exam and someone is pulling your paper after 30 minutes. Right, say Varad Gopal Prabhu pulls your paper. Okay, just for example, Radhipurish Prabhu pulls your paper. Okay, or Lotus Face, whoever. So they pull your paper. So you perceive that controllership. Okay, because you understand he is appointed as a person, as invigilator for your exams every day. Okay, you perceive that control. But if you love him as a friend, his activity is only, you just take it by default. Okay, that is his, he is helping me do things. You don't even acknowledge his position. Okay, you don't have to do that. Okay, he's taking responsibility, something like that. They give another example. A policeman is there. A obedient citizen, a good citizen, okay, who follows the all the protocols of the state, so he's not afraid of seeing a police, right? Maybe he can make friendship with the police. He can shake hands with the police. He can embrace the police, right? There is absolutely no fear in his heart about that police, right? Because of that police. But a criminal, he's extremely fearful of the police. Okay, even if he hears the word police, or even if he catches his sight also, there is fear in his heart. So, the conditioned souls in the material world are like criminals. Vrajavasis are like obedient citizens. Okay, they can make friendship with God. They can embrace the God. Okay, they can show affection to the God. Right, just like a obedient citizen makes friendship with a police. Like that. So, Vrajavasis are on that level. So, thus, Krishna is seen as a controller and hence as a supreme God by those who are not fully enchanted by his beauty and pastimes. Okay, if one already develops unconditional attachment and attraction towards the pastimes of Krishna, right, and he is not distracted by other beauties of this material world, right, his total focus is only Krishna. He is attracted to Krishna's pastimes. Right, if some Bollywood hero is coming and doing some pastimes, okay, or if some Bollywood heroine is coming and doing some pastime, he is not attracted to that pastime. He is attracted totally to Krishna only. For such a person, you need not remind Krishna as God, right? But someone who is not uncontrollably attracted to Krishna, you have to remind that Krishna is controller. Krishna is supreme controller. Those fully love. Those who are in fully love with Krishna focus on his sublime attractive features because of the nature of their friendship, relationship with him. They do not notice him as a supreme controller. That's what is happening with them. That is why all the Vrajavasis are sometimes remembering, they remember that Krishna is God. They are in constant, perpetual forgetfulness of Krishna's position as supreme controller. Right? They completely forgot that Krishna is supreme controller. Okay, but sometimes they remember, once in a while. Very rarely they remember. Okay, because they're in a higher state. Eventually they will come to a lower state. Occasionally they will come to a lower state. You understood? Understanding Krishna's position as a controller or God is a lower state of consciousness compared to loving him as a person in some affectionate relationship. So all the Vrajavasis are in the higher level. Once in a while they may come to lower level. Again they are pulled back to higher level. Right? But atheists, they are always in a lower level. Once in a while they may come up and then they immediately go down. Okay? So those people who are below this, theists and above this theist, they both resemble the same. Okay? They are constantly in that apparent ignorant state. Once in a while they are coming to conscious state and then they are again going back to their ignorance. Okay, but the ignorance of Vrajavasis and the ignorance of materialists is different. This is clear? That is explained in this beautiful verse. In the material world, it is very difficult to remember Krishna because nothing in this material world is used for Krishna's service. Right, because any object you see, only devotees do that. Devotees engage things in Krishna's service with the principle of Yukta Vairagya or whatever. But in general, 99.9999% of this material world is filled with this consciousness that there is nothing in this world that should be used for Krishna's service. So in such a place, if you go, you can't remember Krishna. Right, it is difficult to remember Krishna because the ambience and the vibrations here are like that. You enter a place, you see a tablet, it is for the sense gratification of some person. Okay, he wants to do some WhatsApp chat with his girlfriends. That is for his sense gratification. Okay, you see a book, that is some magazine. Okay, that is advertising some useless products. Okay, you see the floor. Okay, that is for the dancing, you know, whatever dance that these fellows do. Okay, in the midnight. Okay, the fan, that is for, you know, producing, that is for the cooling of some person when he gets tired by doing some, you know, gymnastics. Okay. Right, light is to show him light to read some, you know, nonsensical magazines. Okay. Kitchen, cooking is going on. Okay. That is for whom? That is to feed these people. Okay, non-vegetarian food. Okay. So if you go into certain ambience where nothing is meant for Krishna's service, everything is meant for the sense gratification of a conditioned soul, how can you remember Krishna? You cannot remember Krishna. That is why it is difficult to remember Krishna here. But in spiritual world, it is very easy to remember Krishna. It is impossible to forget Krishna there, because everything is meant for serving Krishna. Even a rock, even a stone, even a twig, even a leaf, even a flower, whatever is available, every person there, every animal, every bird, every tree, everything is meant for serving Krishna. So the entire ambience is filled with vibrations of Krishna's service, you can easily remember Krishna. Okay, you cannot forget Krishna there. So temples, Prabhupada has created these temples to create that spiritual world ambience in this material world. In the midst of a place where you cannot remember Krishna, Prabhupada is creating one temple where everything is meant for Krishna's service, such that remembrance of Krishna will become easy. Right, when a visitor comes to a temple, ISKCON temple, he sees everything, right from the reception gate till the altar. Every element in the temple, every person in the temple is connected with service of Krishna. So they remember Krishna so much. They utter the name of Krishna several times within the temple. Right, when a new person comes. When the same person goes to some movie theater or some clubhouse, right? He cannot utter the name of Krishna even once in the mind also. Okay, so that is why in the material world it is very difficult to remember the name of Krishna. So these people, all the Vrajavasis, they are in spiritual consciousness. They constantly remember Krishna. In the material world, people constantly forget Krishna. Right? So in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, they constantly remember Krishna in his aspect of sweetness, not in his aspect of greatness. Right? So in the material world, they don't remember Krishna in any aspect. Right? In Vaikuntha, they remember Krishna in his aspect of greatness more than sweetness. Okay, this is the simple, you know, gradation of consciousness of living entities in various locations.
इति संचिन्त्य भगवान् महाकारुणिकयो हरि दर्शयामास लोकं स्वं गोपानां तमसः परम्.
Thus deeply considering the situation, the all merciful supreme personality of Godhead Hari revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness.
Okay. So, thus deeply considering the situation, Lord showed them his abode.
Satyam jnanamanantam yad brahma jyoti sanatanam yaddhi pashyanti munayo gunapaye samahitah.
Lord Krishna revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence, which is unlimited, conscious and eternal. Sages see that spiritual existence in trance when their consciousness is free of the modes of material nature.
Okay. So Lord Krishna revealed them Brahma Jyoti Sanatanam. Why he is showing them Brahma Jyoti? Right, as they some impersonalists. But within the Brahma Jyoti Sanatanam, eternal Brahma Jyoti, what they have seen is Lord's abode. Okay, all the Vaikuntha planets are floating in Brahma Jyoti. Right? So he showed the entire thing. Okay, it is Brahma Jyoti is like a lake. Okay, in for example, in the lake you just throw some lotus flowers. Right? Showing the lotus flowers means lotus flowers in the lake means you have to see the lake also, right? That's why they are seeing the impersonal Brahman, in which all the spiritual planets are there, of which the highest spiritual planet is Goloka Vrindavan. They are seeing that. Okay. So text 14, Lord Krishna revealed to the residents of Vrindavan his own abode. Okay. This and innumerable other Vaikuntha planets float in the infinite ocean of spiritual light called the Brahma Jyoti. We discussed. Teto Brahma Hridam Nita Magnaha Krishna Chodhrutaha Dadrishur Brahmano Lokam Yatra Kruro Jagatpura.
The cowherd men were brought by Lord Krishna to the Brahmarida, made to submerge in the water and then lifted up. From the same vantage point that Akrura saw the spiritual world, the cowherd men saw the planet of the Absolute Truth.
Okay. So Brahma Hrida is actually referring to Brahma Jyoti here, in which all the Vaikuntha planets are there. Or Brahma Hrida is referring to the lake in which Akrura had the vision of spiritual world. Okay. So, Brahma is common in both, I know. So now, here Sukadeva Goswami is saying that the way previously Akrura has seen. So, but Akrura's seeing of spiritual world in Brahma Harada will happen, is a future event compared to this event. But that is a past event to Sukadeva Goswami. Okay, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. For him, that is a past event. Okay, in relation to this particular event, that is a future event. So, when it is presented as past event, you should consider that Sukadeva Goswami is referring to his past, not their past. Okay. Correct. Akrura is taking Krishna and Balram to Mathura. On the way he sees. Yeah, when he is taking bath. Correct. That is coming. So the evolution of consciousness may be briefly summarized here. See, in ordinary consciousness we perceive and are attracted to the variety of material things. Rising to the first stage of spiritual consciousness, we transcend material variety and focus instead on the undifferentiated one which lies behind and gives existence to the many. Finally, rising to Krishna consciousness, we find that the absolute spiritual one contains its own eternal variety. In fact, since this world is mere shadow of eternal existence, we would expect to find spiritual variety within the one, and indeed we do not find it in the sacred text of Bhagavatam. We do find it. So spiritual one is filled with so much variegatedness. Okay. In the lower stages of consciousness, we perceive and appreciate the material variegatedness. When some guest comes into GV, say for example, he sees this mountain, there's a lot of variety. So many birds, so many animals, so many insects, so many trees, green mountain, right? He will see so much of variegatedness here. He gets attracted. Okay. And some people who wanted to transcend this kind of material variegatedness, they say spirituality, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, they just focus on the impersonal Brahman. They want to focus on that Brahma Jyoti only, where there is not much variegatedness. It is only effulgence. Okay. So they want to transcend this material variegatedness and come to a spiritual state which is devoid of variegatedness. Okay. But beyond that level is a stage where you perceive variegatedness in the spirituality also. Okay. So within the all these impersonalists, they see only Brahma Jyoti, which is devoid of any spiritual variegatedness. Okay. But devotees, okay, Krishna conscious devotees, within the Brahma Jyoti, they see so many spiritual planets which is filled with variegatedness. right? So both are spiritual states only. Brahma Jyoti is a spiritual realm. Okay, within the Brahma Jyoti, there are so many abodes. There are so many spiritual planets. So in that, there is a lot of variegatedness. Okay. Got the three levels?
17th verse. Nandadayastu tam drishtva paramananda nivrutaha krishnam chatatra chandobhi stuyamanam suvismitaha.
Nanda Maharaj and other cowherd men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas who were offering him prayers.
So Krishna did not show them simply some Brahma Jyoti or simply some Vaikuntha planets in the Brahma Jyoti. He actually showed them the highest abode, Goloka Vrindavan, okay, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and other acharyas. Okay. And according to Jiva Goswami, they also saw Vaikuntha planets, they saw Vaikuntha Vasis, and Vaikuntha Vasis asked the Vrajavasis, hey, silent, don't speak so much. Okay. So then Vrajavasis realized, here in Vrindavan we speak to Krishna, we embrace Krishna, we do so much with Krishna, and they are saying you be silent. Okay. We are in a more fortunate position than Vaikuntha Vasis. So they felt like that. Okay. Chapter is completed. We'll take a break and start another chapter. So now 28 chapters are completed. 29 to 33 is Rasa Panchadhyay. So I will skip this and start 34th chapter. Okay. But Radhika Vallabhra, whenever he is available, he will take that.
find out in chapter 34.
Hare Krishna. Mimna Maharaj saved and Shankachuda slain. Sri Shuka Uvacha Ekada Deva Yatrayam Gopala Jata Kautukaha Anobhir Anadud Yuktaihi Prayuste Ambikavanam. So after the 28th chapter we have this Rasa Panchadhyay, where Krishna plays flute and attracts all the gopis to the forest, and then he says, gopis, why did you come in the middle of the night like this, return to your homes, and then gopis wouldn't agree, and then he starts performing rasa dance with them, and gopis started feeling happy, and then little pride because of that happiness and intimate association with Krishna, and Krishna suddenly disappears from the scene. And they sing Gopi Geet, and then there is reunion and the dance. Okay. Then after that, this chapter comes. According to one reference, Garga Samhita, no, Gopal Champu, Krishna is 9 years old. Okay. When he performed this pastime of saving Nanda Maharaj from Sudarshan. According to other references, this pastime, according to Chakravarti Pad, this pastime happened after the Raslila. So after Raslila happened in autumn, and this Leela happened on Holi Purnima or Gaur Purnima. Okay. Huh? Gaur Purnima or Holi. On Holi day, this pastime happened. So now, before Holi Leela. So on Holi day, this happened. Shankachuda. Shankachuda, this chapter describes two pastimes. One, Nanda Maharaj saves, Krishna saves Nanda Maharaj from a snake, serpent called Sudarshan. Then second is, he kills Shankachuda. Okay. Which actually Sridhama, cursed by Radharani. Okay. So these two pastimes are there. Now this in this chapter we see that Nanda Maharaj is delivered from the snake. So Krishna delivering Nanda Maharaj from the snake is compared to rescuing of the truth of eternal Krishna consciousness, which has been swallowed by impersonalists. So the truth of Krishna consciousness is swallowed by impersonalists, and bona fide acharyas would come and rescue that Krishna consciousness and remove the mayavadic stuff and then re-establish Krishna consciousness. So in the places where Krishna is hidden, when some mayavadis are writing commentaries on our scriptures, especially Bhagavad Gita, they have hidden Krishna, although Krishna is apparently present there. Krishna is very clearly present there, and they have hidden. It's not Krishna, it is someone within Krishna. Okay, impersonal, this and that. They give this kind of commentaries. But Prabhupada brought in Krishna where Krishna is not clearly seen in the scriptural words also. Right? So mayavadis have hidden. So that is compared to Krishna's protecting Nanda Maharaj from being swallowed by the serpent. The serpent is representing impersonalists. Nanda Maharaj is representing Krishna consciousness. Krishna is representing the bona fide acharyas who are protecting the Krishna conscious philosophy. Okay. So this pastime represents how Krishna saves the truth of devotional service from being swallowed by mayavadis and atheists. It illustrates how devotees must avoid the company of snake-like people. Snake-like people. So one day, what happened was all the cowherd men, eager to take a trip to worship Lord Shiva, travelled on bullock carts to Ambika forest. So Ambika forest is in Gujarat, and this happened during Shivaratri. Okay, they all wanted to worship Shiva. So most of the Vrajavasis came to Ambikavan, but some stayed back. Okay, during yatras you have a stay back party to do the deity worship and other services in the temple or ashram, and some devotees, many devotees will go for yatras, right? Same thing happened here. So Sunanda, then Nandana, followed Nanda Maharaj and Krishna as their protectors. But Upananda and Abhinanda, so they were appointed to protect cows in Gokul only. Okay, so they did not come for the yatra, Ambikavan yatra on Shivaratri Mahotsav. Okay, so Yashodamayi came, the guardian of Raja, having a pure fragrance of love for her son. She made journey with them to give great happiness to the wives of the cowherds. What more can be said? So Krishna sat on a high cart so that he can get a like nice view of the entire scene. So many pilgrims are just going there on Shivaratri. Krishna could see all that. And his heart was eager to see the festival. He moved gracefully on the road. So with friends as commanders, looking at the curious sights, while being caressed by his mother, he entered the Ambika forest. Okay. Second verse. Tatrasnatva Sarasvatyam Devam Pashupatim Vibhum Anarchur Arhaner Bhaktyam Devim Chandrapatyam Bikam.
O King, after arriving there, they bathe into Saraswati and they devotedly worship with various paraphernalia the powerful Lord Pashupati and his consort Goddess Ambika.
Gavo Hiranyam Vasamsi Madhumadhvanam Adritah Brahmanebhyo Dadusarve Devonah Priyatam Iti.
The cowherd men gave the Brahmanas gifts of cows, gold, clothing, and cooked grains mixed with honey. Then the cowherd prayed, "May the Lord be pleased with us."
Ushu Saraswati Tire Jalam Prashayata Vratah Rajanim Ta Mahabhaga Nandasan Nandasunanda Kadaya.
Nand, Sunand, and the other greatly fortunate cowherd spent that night on the bank of Saraswati, strictly observing their vows. They fasted, taking only water.
This Shivaratri fasting.
Kaschin Maha Ahistasmin Vipineti Bubhukshutuhu. Yadrichayagato Nandam Shayanam Ugragograsit.
During the night, a huge and extremely hungry snake appeared in that thicket, slithering on his belly up to the sleeping Nand Maharaj. The snake began swallowing him.
So they came to Ambikavan, they performed so many rites, and they gave charity to the Brahmanas. And during the night, Mahan Ahi, a big snake, serpent, came and started swallowing Nanda Maharaj.
Sachukroshahina Grastaha Krishna Krishna Mahan Ayam Sarpo Mam Grasate Tata Prapannam Parimochaya.
In the clutches of the snake, Nanda Maharaj cried out, "Krishna, Krishna, my dear boy, this huge serpent is swallowing me. Please save me, who am surrendered to you."
So Nanda Maharaj shouted, "Chukrosha." Okay, Akrosha, Akrandana, we see all that, right? So, sa chukrosha, he shouted, ahina grastaha, he was seized by ahi, snake. He shouted, Krishna, Krishna, Mahan, Ayam, Sarpaha, this big serpent, Mam, Grasate, is swallowing me, Tata, my dear boy, Prapannam Parimochaya, I have surrendered unto you, please deliver me. Right? So, Nanda Maharaj remembered Gargamuni's words here. Right? Krishna will save you from all dangers. Okay? What is that Sanskrit? Anena sarva durgani yuyam anjas tarishyata. Okay? So, Krishna will save you from all dangers. And Gargamuni said, Nanda Maharaj remembered that and then shouted like this. So, without thinking that Krishna is God. Okay? So, they are dependent on Krishna. And Krishna is dependent on them. That is their understanding. So Krishna is surely dependent on us for his survival. Okay? And we are dependent on Krishna. Okay, when we are in dangers. So that is their understanding.
Tasya chakranditam shrutva Gopala hasa hasothitah Grasatam chadrishtva Grastam chadrishtva vibhrantah Sarpam vivyadhur ulmukaihi.
When the cowherd men heard the cries of Nanda, they immediately rose up and saw that he was being swallowed. Distraught, they beat the serpent with blazing torches.
So, ulmukaihi, flaming torches. Ulmukaihi, what do you say? Kagada. Mashal. Okay. Fine. So they just picked it up and then started beating the snake. Still it is so huge, nothing happens to him.
Alatair dahyamanopi namunchattam urangamaha tamasprishat padabhetya bhagavan satvatam patihi.
But even though the firebrands were burning him, the serpent would not release Nanda Maharaj. Then the Supreme Lord Krishna, master of his devotees, came to the spot and touched the snake with his foot.
So, Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi Tam Asprishat Padabhitya. His lotus feet touched the body of the snake. Just like Lord Ram's lotus feet touched a stone and it became Ahalya, Krishna's lotus foot touched the snake and he became Sudarshan, a Gandharva. Okay, see the effect in the ninth verse.
Savai Bhagavata Srimat Padasparsha Hatashubha Bheje Sarpavapurhitva Rupam Vidyadhararchitam.
The snake had all his sinful reactions destroyed by the touch of the Supreme Lord's divine foot. And thus he gave up his serpent body and appeared in the form of worshipable Vidyadhara.
Savai Bhagavata Srimat. Srimat Pada. So, Lord's beautiful and divine Pada, foot, when it touched, Sparsha, Hata Ashubha, all inauspiciousness vanquished from the snake body and the snake position. Okay. Sanchintayet Bhagavatas Charanaravindam Vajrankusat Dhajasaroruha Lanchanardyam Uttunga Raktavilasan Nakhachakravala Jyotsnalibhir Ahata Mahad Hridayandhakaram. It can completely vanquish the thick gloom of darkness, of ignorance that is there in our hearts when we come in contact with the effulgence of the lotus feet of Krishna.
Padasparsha Hatashubha.
This is a very beautiful line.
Bheje sarpa vapur hitva. So sarpa vapur, vapu means body.
So he has relinquished or gave up this snake body.
Rupam vidyadhara architam.
He has taken the form of a vidyadhara architam, which is worshipable. From a condemned snake body, he received a worshipable vidyadhara body. Why? Because he got the touch of Krishna.
Padasparsha hata ashubhaha.
So, that is the touch of Lord's lotus feet. Nalakuvera, Manigriva, they got the touch of Lord's mortar. They also got liberated.
So some touch, okay, whether foot or whatever, hands, okay, conch shell will become reddened, right, when Krishna's lips touch, okay. When Krishna touches with his index finger and to Kubja, he just straightens her, you know, hunchback, okay. That is Krishna's touch. Tam apruchad dharshikesha pranatam samavasthitam dipyamanena vapusha purusham hema malinam.
The Supreme Lord Rishikesh then questioned this personality who was standing before him with his head bowed, his brilliantly effulgent body bedecked with golden necklaces.
Okay. Lord Hrishikesha, he questioned this Vidyadhara. Right? So you are having such a brilliantly effulgent body, right? Bedecked with golden necklaces. Who are you? So he questioned. So the demigod was about to speak, and Krishna wanted everyone to focus their attention on what this personality is speaking. Right? Because he got a snake body. Although he's a Vidyadhara, he got a snake body because of the curse of some Brahmanas. And why did he get that curse? Because he became so proud of his physical beauty and ridiculed Ashtavakra Muni and some other Munis. Because, hey, you are ugly. Okay, he just kind of ridiculed them and criticized them. They said, hey, you also become ugly. Uglier than anyone else. You become a snake. Condemned snake. They became snake. So Krishna wanted this personality to explain his story, and what is there in that story? A lesson. If you disrespect Brahmanas, this is what you are going to get. You have to face the consequences. Okay. Krishna wanted this message to pass to everyone, all the pilgrims. So many pilgrims were there. Okay. And Vrajavasis were also there. So through the medium of these personalities, Krishna is giving us a lesson. So Krishna gives us a lesson, need not be personally, right? He need not give a lesson by himself. He can give a lesson to us through someone else also, right? And ultimately that person is giving lesson only because of the will of Krishna. Even when Krishna delivered this nrga is there, you know this story, 64th chapter somewhere it comes. So he becomes a lizard. Okay, because of offending some Brahmanas unknowingly. Okay, so all the sons of Krishna, they were playing there. Okay, they saw this serpent, they saw this lizard. It was like special, not like other lizards. So Krishna picked it up, and then Nrga, the lizard became Nrga and explained all the story. So there also Acharya say that Krishna wanted all his family members, Yadus, to hear from this Nrga about Brahmana Aparad. Okay, you cannot commit an offense to Brahmanas. Okay, this is what is going to happen. He wanted to warn. So because he was predicting the future event of Maushala Leela, some of my sons may offend these Brahmanas, okay, by presenting Samba as a pregnant woman and then questioning them, boy or girl, tell us. So Krishna wanted to give a lesson. So Krishna sometimes gives a lessons personally in the form of Bhagavad Gita, or through his devotees, he gives some lessons, or through some other personality, some demigods also, some Vidyadharas also, some Gandharvas also will give lesson on the will of Krishna. So we need to take those lessons. So we are hearing the topmost and intimate and exalted pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto. But we should not fail to collect the lessons and principles that are being emphasized for our life here. So the tendency is that often if we read some very high pastimes and discuss from, you know, different Garga Samhita, Gopal Champu, Anandamanda, there is such high books we are studying and discussing, we may secretly think that we are on that level. Okay, we have surpassed all the, you know, sadhaka kind of books. Okay, we have went to some bigger books and then reading 10th canto, intimate pastimes of Krishna. We need to remember where we are, okay, and then try to collect this. Okay, I should not offend this Brahmana, okay. So otherwise we'll become like, okay. Ko bhavan paraya lakshmya rochate adbhuta darshanah katham jugupsitam etam gatim va prapito vashah.
My dear sir, you appear so wonderful, glowing with such great beauty. Who are you and who forced you to assume this terrible body of snake?
He asked. Sarpa uvacha. Aham vidyadhara kaschit sudarshana iti shrutaha sriya swarupa sampatya vimanena acharan dishaha rishin virupa virupangirasaha prahasam rupa darpitaha tairivam prapito yonim paralabdhai hisvena papmana.
The serpent replied, I am the well-known Vidyadhara named Sudarshan. I was very opulent and beautiful, and I used to wander freely in all directions in my airplane. Once I saw some homely sages of the lineage of Angira Muni. Proud of my beauty, I ridiculed them, and because of my sin, they made me assume this lowly form.
Okay. So this is after accepting renounced order, we may not ridicule someone because of his ugliness, physical ugliness, but we may ridicule someone because of their poor talents. Or everyone is shaved head. Where is the question of beauty for anyone here? Okay, that may be, physical beauty may be ruled out. We may not be doing that, or sometimes we may do that also. But generally more thing is like, when I am performing so many services, I am being more efficient, tendency is to look down upon another person who may not be so efficient, okay, who may not be so popular, right? So we need to curb that mentality, okay? If physically also, if someone is criticized, then he has to get the reaction. Here, you see, what to speak of undermining one's abilities and character and other things, and even intentions. Sometimes we may doubt the intentions of other people also. He's not having a very high consciousness. Who are you to say that, Baba? Paramatma thodi. You are not Paramatma, and you just judge someone else that he's having a poor consciousness. He's not willing to serve. Okay, he's like this, he's like that. So we need to be very careful. Okay. Shapome anugraha yaivam kritastaihi karunatma bhi yadaham loka guruna padasprushto hatashubaha.
It was actually for my benefit that those merciful sages curse me, since now I have been touched by the foot of the supreme spiritual master of all the worlds and have thus been relieved of all inauspiciousness.
This is a very beautiful recurring theme in many episodes of Bhagavatam. All these curses are often blessings. Curses from a Brahmana is a blessing. So there, in any curse, there are two people: the receiver of the curse, the giver of the curse. If one of them are in good consciousness, the curse will be beneficial, right? If both are in good consciousness, like, I think curse may not happen, right? If both are in bad consciousness, then everything will become negative only. Now we see so many examples here, whether he may be having good consciousness or not in the beginning, but after receiving that curse, he became remorseful, and after receiving Krishna's a lotus feet dust, right? He felt grateful. He is saying, Shapo me anugraha yaiva. The shapa of these sages has become anugraha on me. Right? This anugraha means benediction. So it's a blessing in disguise. ओके कृतस्थैहि करुणात्मभिहि. सो दे आर वेरी मर्सीफुल इन नेचर. दे हैव क्रिएटेड सच ऑस्पिशियसनेस इन माई लाइफ बाई गिविंग दिस कर्स. ही इज नॉट कंडेमनिंग दम. Even see our conditioned mentality, even after we receive a benefit at the end of everything, right, still we blame someone who may have caused some small troubles in our path to receive that benefit. For example, you are given certain service, at the end the service became success, and then you got the recognition that you have done such a nice service, everyone is appreciating and everything, right? You are recognized as a very good servant. Still, there is some dissatisfaction whereby, I have beach me, and then he caused this trouble, he caused that trouble, he caused this trouble. So many things are happening here, okay? So you blame so many people who may have caused disruptions in your service, okay? If he had not done this, the service would have been more glorious than this, okay? This kind of mentalities may creep in, right? Even after achieving some success in some service, right? So here, this personality, he received a curse. In snake body, he must have gone through so many condemnations, criticisms, right? And physical difficulties also, so many things he must have gone through. But he says, I forget everything. Ultimately, I received the lotus feet of Krishna. I received the touch of lotus foot of Krishna. That is anugraha of the sages, right? He is not condemning them for cursing him. He is not blaming them for causing all the difficulties that he must have faced in the snake body. He is seeing the end result only, where he received the touch of Krishna's lotus foot, right? So that is more important. Ultimately, all of us have received the opportunity to serve Krishna. Whatever difficulties we may have to go through, they are a very insignificant price to pay to receive this opportunity of serving Krishna, right? Whatever little discrepancies we may have, whatever little inconveniences that we may receive from other devotees because of their natures or because of whatever, okay? I am sleeping in Krishna's temple. Some other devotee may be snoring. It's okay. If I don't sleep in this temple, I'll have to sleep in some other place, okay? Then that's not a very devotional atmosphere. Okay, now I got this fortune of being here. Okay, in spite of all apparent troubles and difficulties, if you can appreciate the fortune in the midst of apparent inconveniences, right, we are in right consciousness. This personality is doing that. Shapo me anugraha eva. He is not blaming the sages. He is not blaming anyone for the difficulties he has faced. He is just being grateful at the end of the day. He is seeing only the end result. Okay. Even in the beginning of yatras also, many yatras. Radhana Swami Maharaj, when in the first lecture, when he creates the mood, he says, your room may not be very comfortable, you may not be getting hot water, or the buses may not be very comfortable, prasadam may be a little austere, or whatever. But we have come to this dham of Mayapur, of Vrindavan. Right? So we should be grateful for this opportunity. Most lectures, he creates that mood. So to enter Vrindavan and to even be touched by the breeze of Vrindavan is such a great privilege, and one should feel oneself very low and disqualified and undeserving for that opportunity. And we cannot be lost in complaining on certain inconveniences that we may face. Right, those inconveniences are very insignificant prices to pay to receive this opportunity of entering this dham. Okay, to receive the breeze of this dham, to be touched or embraced by the breeze of this dham. Okay, he's saying it was actually for my benefit that these merciful sages cursed me, since now I have become touched by the foot of the Supreme. Basically, difficulties are a detail. The person, the consciousness of the person who is receiving those difficulties will make a difference, whether it will end up in sweetness or whatever. Right? So Indradyumna Maharaj, he received a curse from Agastya Rishi. Then he received a curse from someone. I think, who is that? In Gajendra's episode, who received a curse from Devala? Devala Rishi. Okay. So many curses are there. Our Parikshit Maharaj received a curse from Sringi. Right. Nalakavari Manigrav, they received a curse from Narada. Right. Initially they may not be in proper consciousness, but later they felt grateful for receiving that curse. Narada Muni felt happy when he received curse from Daksha. Okay, as a preacher, going here and there and not staying at one place is actually a blessing, not curse. Okay, Acharyas write like this. 15th verse. Tam tvaham bhavabhitanam prapannanam bhayapaham apruchheshyapanirmuktaha padasparshad ami vahan.
My Lord, you destroy all fear for those who, fearing this material world, take shelter of you. By touch of your feet, I am now freed from the curse of the sages. O destroyer of distress, please let me return to my planet.
Okay. You are destroyer of distress. See. Tam tvaham bhavabhitanam. Bhavabhitanam. Of those who are afraid of this bhava. Prapannanam. Who are surrendered. Bhayapaham. You will remove their bhaya. Okay. For bhitanam, you will remove the bhaya. You are the destroyer of distress. Okay. Apruche shapa nirmuktaha padasparshat amivahan. Okay. So, you are amivahan, one name of Krishna. Who is collecting names of Krishna in your batch? Nobody? You stopped, huh? Hari bol. Okay. Ganavrayal. According to the Acharyas, the word apriche indicates that Sudarshana humbly requested the Lord for permission to return to his abode so that he can take his duties again. Certainly in a chastened state of mind. Okay. How do you pronounce this? Chastened. That's how you pronounce? Okay. So be chastisement brings chastity. Okay. Here, the chastisement of the sages brought chastity in the mind of this Vidyadhara. So it's up to us in what spirit we receive the chastisement. Yesterday we were also discussing, right? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Lalane bahavo dosha, tadane bahavo guna, tasmat putram cha sishyam cha tadayet, natu lalayet. Right? If you pamper the child, if you pamper the disciple, if you pamper the son, you will improve his bad qualities. If you chastise him, you will improve their good qualities. Okay? Chastisement. If you give some punishment, then he will come back to senses. Like that. Now, here, if the pure pastime only is discussed, without all these lessons and purports by acharyas, we may tend to take those pastimes for granted, or we may not have the ability to recognize the intended lesson from that pastime. What is this pastime giving me? Right? What am I supposed to learn and apply after reading this pastime? So that acharyas will reveal us. So that's a very unparalleled service on the part of acharyas. Right? So that's why this pastime is presented along with lessons and philosophy. Right? Many of these pastimes. So then we will make the best benefit of pastime. Otherwise it's just like some story hearing only. In childhood we used to hear, right? So here he is getting a chaste mind because of chastisement. Right? It's good for us. If one is humble, he will accept the chastisement. If one is arrogant, he will reject the chastisement. And he will miss an opportunity to advance. Like that. So ego plays a very huge role, right, in our advancement. If you are egoistic, then we cannot accept any correction from anyone. Right? We can never accept our mistake. Although our internal intelligence feels that I have done some mistake, our ego wouldn't allow to admit that mistake. Okay? And if the ego is overpowers our intelligence so much, he will not even have a thought that I have done some mistake. How can I do some mistake? Right? The whole world did mistake, but I didn't do. Right? Ego wouldn't allow him to admit the mistake. So it's like that. That is the nature of ego.
Prapannosmi Mahayogin Mahapurushasatpate Anujani Himam Deva Sarvalokeshwareshwara.
O Master of Mystic Power, O Great Personality, O Lord of the Devotees, I surrender to you. Please command me as you will, O Supreme God, Lords of the Universe.
Yes, whatever mistakes we may do, okay, whatever goof-ups we may do, if we can end up saying this word, Prapannosmi Mahayogin, then it's worth going through all that, going through all those troubles and difficulties and then mistakes and offenses and whatever. Finally, we should say surrender. I surrender unto you. Prapannosmi Mahayogin Mahapurusha Satpate Anujanihi Mam Deva. So, Anujanihi, please order me. What am I supposed to do? I surrender unto you, please order me. I keep aside all my ego and position and prestige and everything aside. I just surrender at your lotus feet. You just order me, utilize me the way you want. Right? If one can say this, so it's worth going through all the troubles he went through. Like that. Sarva Lokeshwarishwara. One can recognize Krishna as the master of all planets, all universes. Then he came to his right consciousness. Okay, at the end of the day, we need to surrender our body, mind and ego. Okay, we can say boldly, we can tell Krishna, I am there for your service. You use me the way you want. Like that. So Chakravarti Pada writes a nice commentary on this. So someone has the book. Meanwhile, we'll read the next verse.
Brahmadandat vimuktoham sadyaste chutadarshanat yannama grinan akhilan srotrunatmanam evacha sadyah punati kim bhuyas tasya sprishta padahite. O infallible one, I was immediately freed from the Brahmana's punishment simply by seeing you. Anyone who chants your name purifies all who hear his chanting, as well as him as himself. How much more beneficial then is the touch of your lotus feet.
So here he is glorifying the holy name and the Lord's lotus feet, right? That relieved him from Brahmadandat Vimuktoham. Sadyate Achyuta Darshanaha. Right? Yan Nama Granan Akhilan. This is actually through Kaimutiki Nyaya. He is glorifying the holy name to glorify Lord Krishna. Right? Yan Nama Granan Akhilan Shrotrun Atmanamayavacha. So, anyone who chants your name purifies all who hear his chanting as well as he himself. So, if somebody is chanting the holy name, somebody is doing Kirtan, Achyut Nityananda Prabhu is doing Kirtan, he is purifying himself, he is purifying all the hearers in the temple hall and those who are hearing from ashram in mic also. So that is purification. Yannama grinan akhilan srotrun atmanam evacha sadyah punati kim bhuyas tasya sprishtah padahite. Right? How much more beneficial than it is to touch the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? How much more beneficial? Just by hearing your name, one is purified. What to speak of touching your feet? That is one step ahead. Like that. So this is like unexpected great fortune of Sudarshan. This Sudarshan Gandharva. So what to speak of Vrajavasis? So Sudarshan is saying, uttering your holy name is so glorious, touching your feet is so glorious. And Vrajavasis are constantly embracing him, kissing him, feeding him, playing with him. You can only imagine the fortune of Vrajavasis, right? We will understand the glory of Vrajavasis more when we hear all these reverential prayers. And devotees are praying with so much reverence. Are you getting a glance of your lotus feet is so rare? Getting a touch of your lotus feet is so rare. Just have to look at him, look at you is so rare, Darshanath. Then we'll understand, hey, Vrajbhajis are embracing him, playing with him. And the rarest of the rare things is profusely available to Vrajbhajis. How glorious are they? Yet we can understand the glory of Vrajbhajis. So 9 cantos are very important. Reading all the other 11 cantos is extremely important for our proper understanding of 10th canto and the position of Vrajbhajis. Like that. So 16th verse we discussed, but we'll see proper Chakvartibha's purport also. Prapannosmi Mahayogin, that verse. So Sudarshan continued, O Mahayogi, O greatest of all possessors of mystic power, on one hand I was very envious serpent. What has my position become now that I have regained proper discrimination and I am praising you? See, beautiful. Just few moments back, I was such a poisonous, envious serpent that I was swallowing the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nandana Maharaj. I was about to commit such an offensive activity. Just by your touch, so much transformation happened in my consciousness that I am standing in front of you and offering you prayers. Right? All this happened by the touch of your lotus feet. Right? So the Krishna consciousness, the process is so powerful that someone who is thoroughly hopeless case can be transformed into such a glorious devotee. Right? This snake, from a snake body he got a Vidyadhara body. Okay, for someone who is about to commit such a gravest possible Vaishnava aparad, he is offering such eloquent prayers to Krishna. See the transformation. So we can see that no situation is so hopeless. No person is so hopeless. However abominable actions he may commit, there is a hope for him. He can be delivered. Krishna's mercy will deliver him. We should keep faith on the process. We should keep faith on Krishna's potency. We should keep faith on the purity of devotees to deliver other people. Right? This is very important. So if we can improve our faith in the process of Krishna consciousness after this 12 cantos of study, that is very glorious. Right? Faith level should increase. How inconceivable is the mystic power of your yoga? Oh, a lot of saintly persons headed by Nanda Maharaj and other great persons, this is a display of your immeasurable mercy that you delivered me from this snake body and protected your own devotees. Know me to be one of your followers. Okay, Prapannosmi, he is saying, I am surrendered unto you. Next verse. Ityanugnapayada itnar ityanugnapyadasharham parikramyabhivandhyacha sudarshanodivam yataha krichranandascha mochitaha.
Thus receiving the permission of Lord Krishna, the demigod Sudarshan circumambulated him, bowed down to offer him homage and then returned to his heavenly planet. Nand Maharaj was thus delivered from peril.
Okay, so he left and Nand Maharaj is delivered. Okay, 19th verse. Nishamya Krishnasya tadatma vaibhavam vrajaukaso vismita cheta sastataha samapya tasmin niyamam punarvrajam nripaya yustat kathayanta adritaha.
The inhabitants of Braja were astonished to see the mighty power of Sri Krishna. Dear King, they then completed their worship of Lord Shiva and returned to Braja, along the way respectfully describing Krishna's powerful acts.
So once again Vrajavasis were astonished. So once again they remembered that Krishna is God. Right, that remembrance is so fickle and then so minute and so temporary, like a flashing lightning on the cloud, that they will immediately come back to their affectionate mode. Right, this remembrance of Krishna's godhood is so minute in the case of Rajavasis. So 19th verse, Chakravartipad gives a nice purport. The inhabitants of Raja were astonished at this and discussed amongst themselves, can this boy whom we fondle with affection and who cannot be peaceful for a moment without us be the Supreme Lord? And this remembrance also is not with full conviction, with some doubt. Sometimes little doubt may arise in their minds that is he God? Right? And with all their argumentation, logic, right brain logic, emotional logic, devotional emotional logic, will defeat any possibility that Krishna is God. Okay, most of the times. So, can he be God? Right? We fondle him with affection. He cannot stay peaceful for a moment without us. How can he be Supreme Lord? Right? If that is so, then all of us, mothers, fathers, are also great personalities. If he is God, we also must be gods. Right? So thus we are greatly fortunate. As Gargamuni first told that Krishna is equal to Narayana. Indeed, we have heard this from the mouths of both Varuna and Vidyadhara. Right? We also must be special. If Krishna is God, we must be some demigod at least. Right? So. So, Vrajavasis can never come into the feelings of affection. That's how that feelings of reverence, right? For example, say Anadiram Prabhu, he becomes a temple president after 10 years. Now, we are friends, colleagues, right? You have Sakhyaras amongst you. Just for argument's sake, I'm not saying that you will not become temple presidents. But for example's sake, all of you are just part of some different departments. He's just running vehicles, right? Somebody is cleaning, somebody is doing achar in kitchen. So somebody is just checking mails of guests. So that is going on. But Anadiram Prabhu happened to be temple president. Okay? Right? Just by the rise of his eyebrows, right, entire temple will be, you know, following in his footsteps or following his orders. Okay, maybe some 100 or 200 brahmacharis are waiting for his orders, right, ready to execute. So maybe like that. But after 10 years, if he comes back into your association, right, you will treat him as your friend only, just for example's sake. Okay, he can never acknowledge his position as a temple president leading some, you know, 200, 300 brahmacharis and holding so many responsibilities, right? You always deal with him in a sakhiras. Okay? That is the case of Vrajavasis. Right? Sometimes you may remember, you are just pushing him and then joking around, pulling his legs. While doing that, sometimes you know, are you a temple president? Right, he became temple. Then you may just stop. But immediately you will forget it and again come into sakras and then just tease him and pull his legs or do whatever you have been doing now. Right? That is the case of Rajavasis. Right? They can never acknowledge his position as God. Sometimes you may doubt. Okay? Like that. So when we do it amongst ourselves, it is familiarity breeds contempt. But when Rajavasis do it, that is pure and affectionate love. Okay, so that's how one pastime completes. We have some time. We'll begin next pastime. This is the pastime, killing of Shankachuda. So this is said to be happened in the midst of Rasleela or post Rasleela during Holi Purnima. So one of them. Both versions may be correct. They may be referring to different kalpas. Who knows? Okay. We'll take all information. Okay, from all sources and relish the subject matter better and not miss any lessons. Kadachid atha Govindo Ramaschad Bhutavikramaha Vijahratur Vane Ratriam Madhyagau Vrajayoshitam.
Once Lord Govind and Lord Ram the performers of wonderful feats, were playing in the forest at night with the young girls of Raja.
So one more intimate pastime that is happening. So Vrajavasi's astonishment of Krishna's powers, one more nice point, will only ultimately lead them to Krishna Katha. Right? When they got astonished by Krishna's power, they are doing Krishna Katha. Itinandadayo Gopa Krishna Rama Kathamuda. Definitely when all the younger Gopas told that Hare Krishna killed Bakasur, Krishna killed Vatsasur, they were astonished by their powers, but they are discussing Krishna Katha. So generally we hear about the valorous activities of some other person. We may develop some reverence towards him. Our respect for him will increase, right? And sometimes he becomes unapproachable for me, right? This is the same example. You just approach him whenever you want and then speak whatever you want with him now. But after you know that he is temple president, let me not disturb him now. He must be busy with many other responsibilities. That kind of reverential feelings may come. Okay, that kind of formal attitude may come, right, in the relation when you know about the extraordinary powers of someone. Second possibility is expectations. You may start expecting things from him. Arey, he's in high position. Hamara kaam kar dega. Okay, so that kind of unka naam liya to hamara kaam ho jayega. Okay, we'll take his recommendation. He is my friend. Earlier, 10 years back, he is my colleague. So I will take his name and get some work done through someone else, where his influence is there. So this kind of expectations may come. So when we hear about the glory or the power or position of a person, either we will develop reverential feelings and respectful feelings towards him, and our dealings will become more formal, or we'll or our end. Okay, we'll develop so many expectations from him that he will do this for me, he will do that for me, like that. So these two did not happen in Vrajavasi's case. They were just simply glorifying Krishna and increasing their affection for Krishna, like that. So reverence in the highest stage of Bhagavan realization is where a devotee sees Lord as friend. Like in the highest stage of Bhagavan realization, devotee will see the Lord as his son or friend or lover, etc. And it is not natural for a living entity to be in reverence. Vrajavasi consciousness. Okay, it is a unnatural state to be in reverence, as we discussed elaborately in the previous purport. Right? The controllership has to be emphasized when there is a protest to that controllership. But when in the case of Vrajavasis, because there is only love, controllership will have no role to play. Krishna is not insecure that his position may be lost. So when Indra's worship is stopped, he felt insecure that people may stop worshipping me. It began with one community, it may spread to other communities. But for Krishna, whether you call him as God, whether you don't call him as God, it doesn't make any difference in his life. Right? Vrajavasis don't call him as God. Are Vrajavasis are not thinking that I am God. Okay, they are not acknowledging my position as God. So Krishna is not feeling insecure. He is feeling happy. Because ultimately a person feels comfortable and happy when his loving associates are around. Okay, without any blocks in their relationships or dealings. The blocks of reverences, expectations, this and that, so many things are there. So those boundaries are not there in Krishna's relationship with Vrajavasis. That makes sense? Right, in Krishna's relationship with Vrajavasis, all these other formalities are not there. So the biggest fear in a relationship is expectations. Right? So I expect him to behave like this. I expect him to behave like that. Right? I expect him to do this. I expect him to do that. So these kind of expectations are not there in Vrajavasis things. Right? Whenever they approach him for some help, that is out of pure love. Where else they will go? Okay, so by protecting someone, Krishna is also not expecting some undue respect and then worship from them also. There is absolutely no expectation on either side. Okay, that makes the relationship so sweet. So this relationship between Vrajavasis and Krishna, relationships amongst the Vrajavasis, is the best example for ideal relationships. Right? There is absolutely no undue expectations or no reverential feelings. There is only pure love and affection towards each other. Right? That we can very nicely see here. Selflessness. 18th verse. No. 20th verse. Now 20th verse we began the other pastime, right? So at Lohajanga Vana. Okay, Lohajanga forest. So Krishna and Balaram were sitting with some gopis. They were having their pleasure pastimes. So in that vana, there are Madhavi flowers. They are so fragrant. Krishna is decorating the braids of all the gopis with those flowers, fragrant flowers. So like that nice pastime was happening. So in this pastime, so Krishna and Balaram and all the gopis would be disturbed by the entrance of one demon called Shankachuda. Okay. Then this Shankachuda, he is called conchal demon. Okay, Shankachuda. So Krishna would retrieve the jewel from there, and he represents the proneness towards acquiring name and fame and desire for sensual enjoyment, opposite sex. So Shankachuda is representing proneness towards acquiring name and fame and a desire for sensuous enjoyment under the plea of devotion. So the background of this fellow is, more or less, Kamsa has defeated so many demons, all demons, in fact, in the universe, right? Except the Shankachuda. So once Narada Muni went to the Shankachuda, so he's a demon. So he took birth in Kuvera's family, Kuvera's lineage, as a demonic associate of Kuvera, because of the curse of Srimati Radharani. So he took birth there, and Narada Muni went to him and told, "Hey, there is one great hero called Kamsa. He defeated all the warriors of the universe. Okay, if you defeat him, your glory will increase." So like that, Narada Muni said something and provoked him for a fight with Kamsa. So Shankachuda went to Kamsa, and then he, with his club, which is 10 million bharas, something like that. That is his weight, the weight of the club. So he, with that club, he went in front of Kamsa in Mathura. He went into his kingdom in front of the throne. He said, "Kamsa," very humbly, he said, "I heard that you are such a great club fighter. So can you please give a club duel with me? If you are victorious, I'll become your servant. If I am victorious, you become my servant for a long time. This is the deal. Can you do it?" So when a Kshatriya, when he is asked like that, that too is puffed up, Rakshasa fellow, demoniac fellow like Kamsa, he cannot stand like that. He said, "Yes, come, where do we fight?" So they went out, they started fighting. So in all other fights between Kamsa and other demons, Kamsa would defeat them so easily within a short time. But the fight between this Shankachuda and Kamsa went for 27 days. Still no one is winning. So they started fighting with clubs, and at one point clubs, were smashed. Okay, clubs became broken into small pieces. They started doing some fist fights. Right? At one point, Kamsa picked up Shankachuda and threw him 80 miles in the sky. Then Shankachuda picked up Kamsa. He threw him 800 million miles into the sky. So he just threw him like that. Then Kamsa fell on the ground. He was little astonished. How did he throw me like that? Okay. He was little disturbed by that. Little. That is the power of Kamsa. And again the fight began. And they started fighting with each other. And after 27 days also, no one is winning. So then Gargamani came there. So when they saw Gargamani, both Kamsa and Shankachuda bowed down to Gargamani. And Gargamani told, "Kamsa, you cannot defeat this person. And Shankachuda, you cannot defeat Kamsa also. Because you both are equals. The reason I will tell you. The reason is, Just like Kamsa is destined to be killed by Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shankachuda is also destined to be killed by Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot kill him, you cannot kill him. Okay? You both cannot kill each other. You are equals. So my suggestion to you is become friends. Your enemy is same. You both have a common enemy. You can become friends. So they became friends. They became closest possible friends after that. Kamsa and Shankachuda. So one day, when Kamsa invited Shankachuda, you come for, you know, for some dinner or whatever to my house. So he invited. So Shankachuda was going towards Mathura. Okay, on the way to Mathura, he saw in this Lahangavan, he saw Krishna and Balaram enjoying with so many gopis. Then he got attracted. Okay. Then this whole pastime happened. Okay. So we are in 21st verse. Upagiyamano lalitam strijanair baddha sauhrudaihi svalankritau nuliptangau sragvinau virajombarau.
Krishna and Balaram wore flower garlands and spotless garments, and their limbs were beautifully decorated and anointed. The women sang their glories in the charming way, bound to them by affection.
Nishamukham manayantav uditodu patarakam mallika gandhamal mattali jushtam kumudavayuna.
The two lords praised the nightfall, signaled by the rising of the moon and the appearance of stars. A lotus-scented breeze and bees intoxicated by the fragrance of jasmine flowers.
Jagatuh sarva-bhutanam manasravana-mangalam taukalpayantau yugapat sarva-mandala murchitam.
Krishna and Balaram sang, producing the entire range of musical sounds simultaneously. Their singing brought happiness to the ears and minds of all living beings.
Okay. So when Krishna and Balaram sang, the music is very capturing, captivating to everyone. Sravana Mangalam, Mano Sravana Mangalam. With the capturing the mind and ears also. Gopyastad Gita Makaranya Murchita Navidan Rapa Sramsadukula Matmanam Srastakesha Srajam Tataha.
The gopis became stunned when they heard the song. Forgetting themselves, O King, they did not notice that their fine garments were becoming loose and their hair and garlands disheveled.
Evam vikridito svairam gayato sampramattavat shankhachoda itikhyato dhanadanucharobhyagat.
While Lord Krishna and Balaram thus played according to their own sweet will and sang to the point of apparent intoxication, a servant of Kuvera named Shankhachuda came upon the scene.
So when they are enjoying like that, Shankhachuda iti khyato, he is famous as with the name Shankhachuda. Dhanada anujaro abhyagat. So Dhanada is Kuvera, okay, who has a lot of money. He is anujara, he is associate. Abhyagat, he arrived there. So this Shankhachuda, just like Kamsa, he had great blessings of Lord Shiva also. Okay. So on Kamsa's invitation, Shankhachuda is going, travelling on the road. So he heard the beautiful singing of the rasa dance. Okay. So following the sounds of kartals and this flute and songs, he just came. Okay. Where he saw all the gopis there. So he saw Krishna's form. So Garga Samhita, this is, I think, Gopal Champu. Okay, I didn't write that reference. So Krishna's form is very nicely described there. Okay. Krishna is so tender, limbed. Right, at this time he was 9 years old, something like that. So he was so delicate and then looks like a very small, sweet boy. So this Shankachuda felt that he's very fragile. What he will do? And there are so many ladies and he's just one small boy here. Right? So Shankachuda decided to kidnap the gopis. First he decided to kidnap one of the gopis. Right? So he was approaching. When all the gopis saw Shankachuda, he was very black and tall like 10 palm trees. He's so huge. So he had a tiger's face and a lolling tongue. So they became afraid. When Shankachuda came, all the gopis started running in all directions. So he was fearless because he was tortured by lust. So fear will not enter when someone is so lusty. Basically, that is shamelessness. So the demon Shankachuda grabbed one gopi. Her name is Shatachandranana. Okay, Shatachandranana gopi. So he just picked her up and then started going away. Then Krishna saw this and then he took a big sala tree in his hand and angrily chased the demon. So seeing that Krishna is approaching like invincible death, this yaksha demon, Shankachuda, he left the gopi behind and then started running for his life. Okay, but Krishna just grabbed him with his powerful arms and then reeled the demon around and threw him to the ground. Okay, just like a hurricane uproots a lotus flower and throws it. For example, Tranavarta comes, right? He reeled even. What is the condition of a small, light lotus in that? So Krishna reeled him around like that and then threw him to the ground. He fell like that and he lost his life. So we will read more. Tayor nirikshato rajams tannatham pramadajanam kroshantam kalayam asa Dishyudichyam asankitaha.
O king, even as the two lords looked on, Shankachuda brazenly began driving the woman off toward the north. The woman, who had accepted Krishna and Balaram as their lords, began to cry out to them.
So according to Bhagavatam, Shankachuda didn't pick up one gopi, he just took all the gopis. Like driving, just like a cowherd boy drives all the cows. Come, ajao, chalo, chalo. So like that, he just picked up all the gopis. Right? So, Shankachuda shook a large stick at the beautiful young girls, thus frightening them, driving them towards the north. He did not actually touch them. How can he touch them? Okay? That is the point here. Just picked up a stick and then showed. Kroshantam Krishna Rameti Vilokya Svaparigraham Yathaga Dasyuna Grasta Bibhratav Anvadhavatam.
Hearing their devotees crying out, Krishna, Rama, and seeing that they were just like cows being stolen by a thief, Krishna and Balaram began to run after the demon.
So, just like Krishna protects the, Krishna is a cowherd boy, he protects the cows. So now he is a Rasaraj. So he is protecting all the gopis here. Right? So now, what was the consciousness of this fellow, Shankachuda? In Krishna book, Prabhupada criticizes him like this. Just like two sons of Kuvera, they were puffed up because of their wealth and opulence in Narada Muni's presence. Right? Similarly, Shankasura, the Shankachuda, was puffed up over his material opulence. He is also coming in the line of Kuvera. Right? He is a demoniac yaksha associate of Kuvera. So he was also puffed up by material opulence. So he thought, when he was going, how can these two boys, Krishna and Balarama, can have the association of so many young girls? We should have that opulence. Okay, we should have that privilege. Why they are enjoying? I should enjoy. That was his mentality. Right? Generally, in the material world, a person with riches thinks that all beautiful women should be enjoyed by him. So he belonged to the richest community, Kuvera. So he thought, I should enjoy the company of beautiful girls, not these people. So he decided to take charge of them. Then 28th verse. Mabhaishtyetyabhya abhya abhaya ravau. శాలహస్తౌ తరస్వినౌ ఆశేదతుస్తం తరస త్వరితం గుహ్యకాధమం.
The lords called out in reply, "Do not fear." Then they picked up logs of shala trees and quickly pursued that lowest of guhyakas, who swiftly ran away.
Savikshatav anupraptav kalamrityu ivodvijan visrijyastrijanam mudha pradravat jivitechhaya.
When Shankhachuda saw the two of them coming toward him like the personified forces of time and death, he was filled with anxiety. Confused, he abandoned the woman and fled for his life.
So this personality has defeated Kamsa, and through Kamsa, some 800,000 miles, right? 800 million miles, something like that, into the sky. Seeing Krishna, he was fearful. Right, Pradravat Jivitechaya. He was running away for life. So Krishna, who is a soft, tender, small boy that can create such sweet feelings in the minds of gopis, or affectionate vatsalya feelings in the minds of elderly gopas and gopis, he can create such terror in such a demoniac fellow. Right? So Balram said, "Kill him quickly." Krishna said, "Yes, I will kill him." So he started running with one tree. So he was chasing him. Tam anvadhavat govindo yatra yatra sadhavati jihir shurta shiro ratnam tasthau rakshan striyo balaha.
Lord Govind chased the demon wherever he ran, eager to take the crushed jewel. Meanwhile, Lord Balram stayed with the woman to protect them.
So women were fatigued because this fellow came and started driving them away. So Balramji protected them and consoled them. Avidura iva bhetya shirastasya duratmanaha jahara nushti nai vanga sahachoda manim vibhuhu.
The mighty Lord overtook Shankhachuda from a great distance, as if from nearby, "My dear king," and then with his fist the Lord removed the wicked demon's head together with his crest jewel.
So Lord cut his head, he took the jewel, and he gifted it to someone. Who is that? That is mentioned in 32nd verse. Shankhachudam nihatyaivam మణిం ఆదాయ భాస్వరం అగ్రజాయా దదాత్ ప్రీత్యా పశ్యంతీనాం చ యోషితాం.
Having thus killed the demon Shankhachuda and taken away his shining jewel, Lord Krishna gave it to his elder brother with great satisfaction as the gopis watched.
So he picked up that jewel and then gave it to Balramji. He didn't give it to any of the gopis, because if he gives one of them, others may quarrel. So they may say like that. But according to another version, he gave it to Satachandranana gopi, because this Shankhachuda picked her up and then took her away. Na? So he gave it to Satachandranana gopi. According to Bhagavatam, he gave it to Balramji, and later Balramji gave it to Radharani only. She is the best of the gopis. So in front of everyone, he didn't give to Radharani, but ultimately it reached Radharani only. Okay. So now, after this Shankhachuda died, okay, after Krishna killed him, so an effulgence came out of the demon's body, okay, and stayed for a long time, okay. Then circled the directions and until it finally reached Krishna's friend Sridhama. So the effulgence entered Sridhama's body, his friend. Now the question is, when Aghasura's soul came out, it stayed for some time and entered Krishna's body. Okay, but how come Sridhama's body, this demon's thing? So there is a nice incident that happened behind this. Okay, So he's actually Sridhama, Sridhama's portion. So once, actually in the spiritual world, Krishna had four wives. One, Srimati Radharani, then Shri, Viraja, and Bhu. They are the four wives of Krishna. Okay. Once Krishna enjoyed his pleasure pastimes with Viraja, one of the wives. So from a friend's mouth, Radharani came to know that Krishna enjoyed in the grooves with Viraja. So she felt little jealousy and anger. Okay. So she mounted on a chariot, right, with wonderful jewels, gold, pearls, decorated so much. So there, with that chariot, she came to the place where Krishna is there. Then powerful Sridhama was guarding the entrance of Krishna's place there. So Krishna, on Krishna's order. So Radharani and her friends started rebuking Sridhama in so many ways. Okay, you are not allowing us to enter, what is this? Then eager to enter, Radharani and her friends started hitting Sridhama with sticks. Right, they started beating him. So great commotion appeared. So Sridhama, what he will do? So he was like keeping quiet. And inside, Viraja and Krishna came to know about this. So Krishna disappeared. Then Viraja became a river. Okay, out of the fear of Radharani, Viraja became a big river and encircled the entire Goloka planet. It was around 80,000 miles, 80 million miles around Goloka, Gokul. Right? So looking at the forest and then river, so Srimati Radharani went back to her own place, her own groove in the spiritual world. Then Lord Krishna came back, okay, after Radharani left. And then he transformed Viraja river into a girl again, okay, dressed nicely. Then Krishna again started enjoying rasa dance with Viraja. Okay. Then Krishna had seven sons from Viraja. So these seven sons were having their childhood play. And one of them, this youngest child, so he was beaten up by his elder brother, six elder brothers. Right? The children play like that, right? So they were doing some mischief and then they came to mother. So the younger son came to mother, Viraja, and then said, "See, my bade bhai maar rahe mujhe." He said like that. And she was like caressing the child. Meanwhile, Krishna saw this scene and then he left. Then Viraja became separate. He became very anxious for Krishna's presence. She was feeling intense separation from Krishna. Then she started cursing the child. Because you are quarreling and then you are crying, so Krishna left. I am feeling separation from Krishna. So may you become a water body. Okay, she cursed the youngest child. And all the other children, the six children, so she cursed them also. You also become water bodies. You go to earth planet. And then because you are quarreling amongst each other, nobody should have any connection between you. You become water bodies on the earth in separate. You will not be touching each other. Okay. And the youngest child, she first cursed that you become a water body, you become a salt water body, nobody will drink your water also. Out of anger, she just cursed. So all these seven boys, they became the seven oceans when Prithu Maharaj was circling Bhumandala and created ditches, right? So those seven, Priyavrat. What did I say? Prithu. No, Priyavrat. So these seven ditches are the seven oceans. Okay, seven sons of Viraja. Later, when her anger subsided, she said, "Arey, why did I unnecessarily curse them like that?" She was feeling morose. When Krishna came and then pacified, "Don't worry. Okay, that is all transcendental plan only." Like that. Then he said, "All this you have done because of separation from me. Oh, frightened Viraja, you will never be separated from me. Okay. Still, with your own power, you will always protect your sons also." He gave that benediction. Then Srimati Radharani, she was feeling separation because Krishna is busy with Viraja. Radharani was feeling separation there from Krishna. So knowing this, Krishna went to Radharani along with Sridhama. Okay. Then Radharani said, "Oh, you be with Viraja only. Don't come to me. Okay, Viraja has become a river. You also become a river. Okay, you both be together. Why have you come to me?" Then Sridhama intruded and said, "How come you are chastising Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the master of countless universes. He is the master of Goloka. He has transcendental opulences in millions in number. right? If he likes, he can do whatever he wants, right? He's greater than the greatest. So like that, don't criticize Radharani. Okay, he kind of suggested. Then Radharani said, oh fool, you are praising your father Krishna and criticizing me. I'm your mother, right? For criticizing me and giving me feedback, you become a demon. Okay, go to Goloka, go to the earth planet and become a demon. Then Sridhama said, you are cursing me because of your anger and jealousy. So you should also go and you will feel separation from Krishna for at least a century, there is no doubt. He also cursed. So then Krishna came, and then both of them were little sad that they cursed each other. They became angry. Then Krishna came. This is again my transcendental plan only. Right? So his curse also will be fulfilled. His curse, her curse also will be fulfilled. So all this will be a part of my pastimes in Vrindavan. So he came and he killed Shankachuda. He told there only, Sridhama, so you will become Shankachuda and then you will be killed by me. Then you will be delivered from that. So don't worry. Why Krishna had to approve this, although they are feeling bad that they cursed each other? Krishna said, O Radharani, I have the power to negate my own words, but I don't have the power to negate my devotees' words. Whatever you both have said, that will happen. That will be a part of my pastime, a sweet pastime, he said. So, I have no qualification to narrate this pastime. I just happened to read it and then just shared. It's a very exalted pastime. So, thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So, tomorrow we will have 36th chapter. 35th is Yugala Gita. That also Radhika Vallabhpuru will take. So, we will take 36th chapter. Thirty-fourth chapter, second question, 10 marks. Third question, 10 marks. We did two chapters, right?
Yes.
Okay. 28 I have to give. 28th chapter, first question. You take it for 10 marks. Just a minute. So then the third question, no need to write, no need to quote 10, 28, 15, remove that. Instead, okay, you can remove that thing. The second question you take for 10 marks. Okay. First question 10 marks, second question 10 marks. Then 34th chapter. Second question 10 marks, third question 10 marks, fourth question also 10 marks. Okay, 5 times 50.